What up, world? Welcome to the Ingenious Podcast, where visionaries and creatives alike come together. I'm your host, Chad.
And I'm your host, Chris. The topic of discussion today is the state of the times. Where does the world stand in terms of creativity and art, and what does that mean for aspiring creators?
We're way more built out now in different applications like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, in ways for these artists to now create their works and be able to instantly make it accessible to millions and thousands and reach different regions and borders. So I think we're really in a great space right now for art and what it looks like.
Yeah, I definitely think that art in form of a digital and a media sense is just huge. And being in the internet era, you can consume so much more of it, you know, having that limitless access to art of all types. And that exposure can really help, you know, scold someone's opinion on the genre and just really help people. You know, you can look at old paintings from Picasso or Basquiat or Guy Bullard, or you can explore different types of art and things that you've never even heard of before. And I think that mixed with the internet, mixed with just digital media overall, just lets people have such a wide appreciation taste. Because I mean, 30 years ago, I mean, you couldn't look up, you know, Da Vinci or Picasso paintings unless you had the money, you know, to go to the Louvre in Paris. You couldn't do those things. You know, there was no Google. So now maybe someone who's, you know, 15, 20 years old now as an aspiring artist can use that as sort of a muse in their own sense.
Yeah, man. You don't realize how quickly or how recently the times are completely different. You didn't have things like the internet. You didn't have things like YouTube, where you can click on right in seconds, pull up any videos that people are into, you know, media, short films, even now other platforms like Instagram, right? Which were previously, you were limited to only about 60 seconds or so. They now have extended time. You have things like IGTV, which Instagram has rolled out now. Media is so much more digestible from that space, but you have other things, like you mentioned, that comes with the internet, such as things like Google, things like Pinterest, where you can get inspiration from places, right, never been before, never seen. You can really, as an artist, you have so much more accessible to you. And as an audience, it's a lot easier for you to access and really digest the art that's being put out.
Yeah, and I think in a way, there's also typically a huge shift towards, you know, maybe more traditional forms of art within itself. You know, I know a lot of photographers now, they love to shoot on film. You know, that's a huge thing. You look at some huge time photographers, you know, like Gunnar Stahl, for people.
Yeah, he does some great work.
Exclusive on film. You know, and that's such a big thing for that, is that, you know, that rawness of the photograph, really, that's why so many people love them so much, because they feel like, you know, they're right there. It feels so authentic because of that traditional art method. Now, yeah, there've been tons of digital HDR cameras that, you know, probably in honesty could take a more sharper, defined image of it.
Most definitely.
That traditional form of just shooting on film in a modern sense really draws people into the, you know, the thing. And I also think that, you know, the pandemic has also made people, you know, in a sense, way more creative, because it's given you more time to think out ideas. You know, I mean, there's a certain beauty in my opinion to just being able to just sit still and really like come up with an idea. You know, a lot of people from an art standpoint know how hard that is to just come up with an idea. That's so hard. And I think for a lot of people, the pandemic, you know, even though obviously, you know, had a lot of terrible effects worldwide, one positive out of that was that it gave a lot of artists time to think. It slowed the world down to an extent where, you know, say for example, if you're making music, you know, and you have to put out an album every year, and it's like that and that and that, you know, the pandemic is an opportunity for you to slow down and to sort of, you know, halt the speeding train that would be your career in that sense, and really hone in on what you want to do. You know, if you're telling your story through a visual method, how do you do that? You know, if you're telling it through an audio method, you know, through a podcast or through music, how do you do that? Through even other forms of visual methods like art, you know, and things like that. So I just think that was definitely something that should be highlighted when looking at what art looks like today. Because definitely I feel like within maybe the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to get a lot of sort of pandemic pieces. You know, they're going to spawn area. You know, I mean, someone right now has got some script that they spent all 2020 working on writing and editing. And, it might not be next year. It might be 2, 3, 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. But I think you are going to see a lot of good artistic outputs from this.
Yeah. And I think that I'm also similar to you. I'm really looking forward to see, you know, how people are going to kind of reflect their experiences they had during their time, because this is the first time, definitely in our generation, but even in you know, almost not necessarily the world's history, but as far as like the modern era, really going through something that the whole world was experiencing at one time. And I think there definitely will be, like you mentioned, it's almost like a shift or a paradigm within art and what's being created and the different messages. So it'll be definitely interesting to see kind of as time goes on, because we're still relatively in it to an extent, how the world changes, how art changes, how the world evolves or reflects and looks back on these times.
Yeah, and especially in a sense where, you know, the last global pandemic was in 1918 with influenza. You know, there was no Netflix, there was no Spotify, you know, these mass media outlets that let you consume media not only now in the present, but media from the past as well. I know for me personally, there were a bunch of films that I have been waiting around to see that I really never had the chance to, because I was, you know, graduating high school and things like that. And I finally got to slow down and was able to watch a lot more of that. I know there was a lot of music that I was able to listen to, you know, and platforms, one things that they are very good at is they're also very good at, you know, keeping things modern and new, but they're also very good at reinventing, you know, older things. Say, for example, you wanted to listen to Stankonia, a record by Outkast, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you'd have to go buy a physical copy of that CD. You know? And now you can just go get that on your phone. And what that means is that, you know, traditionally older music that would have been, you know, not accessible to the next generation, unless, you know, your dad had a cassette player, you know, now you can get that anywhere at any given time. So it's sort of just like new inspiration, because now people, you know, they have isolation, staying at home, and now they have all these media outlets which they can explore and really draw from there.
Because that's really, I think, the biggest thing as far as our time was different before, is it's the first time where you can really look at across the board, from even digital programs such as like Adobe or things like Paint, like, or just references if you're going online. Like, we have so much more access than any other generation before us, whether it be from the items to get the art, to be able having outlets, things like, I know in Atlanta, for those who are like, you know, there's things and events like Art House where you can, you know, you have a place to come and display your work, and it's an easier way to reach your audience and find your audience. And it's not, you don't, a lot of those traditional routes still exist, but there's now alternatives because of the access we have, because of the resources available. And I think that's something alone is going to transform art and in return how we view art, because it is now going to be so much more accessible to the audience and for the artists and all the different creators, no matter what your media is, whether it be, you know, if you're making videos, right, you have things like TikTok where you do quick little bits, IGTV, you can make short films a lot easier. You have things for dancers on the other side. If TikTok, you know, you have things like that. You have YouTube where you can show off your skills, your talents, you know. You don't have to go these traditional routes as much anymore. You can find fame and find an audience younger. And you have, you know, within that, like we mentioned before, is the palette's expanding too. Like, yeah, people like Mr. Doodle, right, who he just doodles on, whether it be any, you know, things from shirts. He's done, like, houses and furniture. But he's, you know, doodling. But that's something that's appreciated now. He has an audience for that. And you just have so many different artists because you have things like Procreate on your phone, your iPad, your tablets, Adobe. You know, Apple Music's comes with things like GarageBand if you're into beat making. If you're in designing, you know, you still have pen and paper, but you still have other applications as well where you could even use something like a Procreate or Adobe to transform your work in the fashion sense. It's like, really, you know, we're in a time where different forms of art and artists are being appreciated and a lot more innovative because we have so much more access. Even digitally, we're far more advanced. Before, you know, 5-10 years ago, those Adobe programs have gotten a lot quicker. You've been able to do a lot more things with them now. Things like if you even go to FL, whatever it is, it's like we're in a time of innovation and we're in a time of access. So I think those two things combined, it's going to be really interesting to see how art continues to transform and innovate and change as we move forward into the coming years.
Yeah, definitely. We're changing with the exposure. I think it's just now you get more, you know, regional pockets and things like that. You know, like, for example, a lot of people who might have been into Japanese culture a long time ago, that might have been something that was like unobtainable to them. You know, Japan might as well have been like Jupiter. You know, And now it's like, you know, if you don't want to go on Google yourself, you can get in contact with someone who lives over there. You know, you can text them. You can FaceTime them. I mean, you can do so much now, and especially with, you know, global marketplaces. I mean, if you wanted to, you know, deck your whole place out with it, you can do stuff like that.
Yeah. So
I just think the ability to immerse yourself, if you even want to. And I think that's the beauty about a lot of the art and the culture is that, you know, all this is a choice, you know? I think that's where the true beauty in it comes, is that when you take a choice to enjoy, you know, a podcast or a movie or a picture, that choice is so rewarding because the art itself is so meaningful from that standpoint. And that's why I think people, you know, like you, you know, love art and love creativity so much, because it's meaningful. You know, you know that, you know, someone was putting hours behind structuring things, behind manufacturing things, behind producing things. You know, the effort is there and it comes through on the other side.
Yeah. And I think that's just important, you know, as we're becoming more appreciative of art, is really, you know, understanding it and appreciate it for what it is. Even if it's not something you understand, like, that's the beautiful thing, I think, about being a creative or a creator, no matter what your media is you can just, while having the more, you know, because you have the tools now and you have more access to things, you really can just create whatever you want. You know, you still have the traditional methods, but you can really, you know, get your ideas out, because I'm sure you've had some similar experiences where it's like, okay, I have this idea, but how do I manifest it? How do I do, you know, how does it become the vision I have, right? Because something, a lot, I think a lot of creators are like, that you want it to go right. Like, you have a specific image in mind, and that's what you want to be displayed when you put in the work and time for it. So I think, you know, that follows up to the next a question I have. You know, what do you think that this time, right, this access, the innovation we talked about, what does that mean for people who are kind of looking to create and express themselves? Because, you know, I've now tried different medias, from painting and photography, and even digital media as well, as I'm trying to, you know, find myself and what works for me. But what do you, you know, say for our audience members who are tuning in, who are, you know, looking to create or express themselves?
Well, I think for people who are looking to do that, I think that inspiration can really come from anywhere. There's so much that is in this world that is basically just basically asking, you know, take this, take that from there, you know, and there are just so many great creatives who have, you know, done that. For example, I know one, Quentin Tarantino. I know a lot of people love Kill Bill. They're huge fans of the series like that. You know, Kill Bill is basically, you know, a kung fu montage of a bunch of old movies, from Enter the Dragon to Lady Snowblood to Seven Samurai. I mean, and as someone who loves film, I've seen these movies repeated times, and I've also seen Kill Bill, and you can see the similarities. And from that standpoint, you know, you could criticize and say, oh, well, that's stealing, you know, that's plagiarism. But in that form, the inspiration for those has created something entirely different, because you have people now who look at Kill Bill for other things like that. Like, an example of the either funnier one is that the Kung Fu Panda movies are basically proofs of the Kill Bill movies. It's that's how it is. I mean,
yeah,
if you watch those movies side by side, they're basically like, Kung Fu Panda is basically just a spoof of Kill Bill. It's hilarious to watch. You should do that, by the way. But great with films. That being said, that inspiration from Lady Snowblood to Kung Fu Panda to someone might be completely unrecognizable. But when you fill that in there, the inspiration, basically, it's like a relay race, you know, handing the baton off from one thing to another. And then it slowly evolves from, you know, a more graphic, and just for the example, this example, you know, a kung fu action flick to, you know, a kid's movie about a panda bear. And you can see that inspiration throughout all of it. And then transitioning it to the next point, I think it's just learning how to really use your own style. And from that, I would say that, you know, the best thing to do is just consume as much as possible, and then just weed it out, you know, because there are going to be things that you like here. You might really hate this music. You might not like it. You might hate rap music. You're like, this is just terrible. I can't stand it. But you might really be in a singer-songwriter music, like folk music. That might be you. And if that's you, you can take those aspects, and then you're like, well, I don't like this, but I love R&B. And then you pull from that, and then you slowly start to build up your own unique thing. And when you look at a lot of the great creatives and the people who have really gone on to make a significant impact with their art, that seems, at least in my opinion, to be a pretty common trend, is that none of them are their own favorite artist. They all have a plethora of people who have inspired them in so many different ways, who they've just basically been like the accumulation of all of their work. And they've taken their personal highlights from there and used it. And then I think another thing is that a lot of people, you know, don't be afraid to be really weird with it. You know, there are a lot of great artists who have just
flat out been kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
You look back, for example, one of my personal favorites, I mean, Andre 3000. I mean, he's wearing football pads and like pants. But he was so unique in his style sense that now people 20 years later are still talking about it. They love it, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, Andre 3000, obviously, you know, great career with Outkast and things like that. But, you know, he's also created and sparked a sort of, you know, creative fashion way in his thing, you know. Mm. Because for him, I mean, nobody was doing that, especially from the South, you know, 98, 99. Yeah. Nobody was doing things Mm-mm. like that. Mm-mm. And I think from there, you know, when you just look and if you were to go, you know, sit down and talk to Andre 3000, wherever he is right now.
He be in his own world, man. He pops up every once in a blue moon. He'll pop up at a gas station or something.
But, you know, if you talk to him, he probably have a mile-long list of things and people and events that have inspired him to do things like that. And to some people, they might seem very strange. They might be like, well, wait, that's like lame. Why do you mm-hmm. take it weird, you know? And a lot of times things that often start out as weird or strange or as kind of like jarring end up becoming so popular that they become, you know, commonplace. You know, they do. Like, for example, a good one is Jimi Hendrix. You know, you can look at the history of rock and roll and you can see, you know, pre-Jimi Hendrix with, you know, Chuck Berry and guys like that with the guitar and they just do simple riffs and things like that. And then you look at after Jimi Hendrix, you know, you get psychedelic.
Before the after effect.
Pop guitars. You know, you get people like, you know, Roger Walter and Pink Floyd, you know, more psychedelic music. You get people like Prince with even more neo-soul music like that, you know, and you can see that transition with the guitar with Hendrix, where it starts at. And at the time, I mean, people, when Are You Experienced came out, I think, it was late 60s, 70s.
Yeah, it was like later. Yeah.
I mean, people thought it was like the devil's music, you know, it was like the weirdest thing you'd ever heard, you know. And now a lot of those Hendrix chords and things like that, you hear them all the time in alt rock music and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, just playing traditional rock and roll music. And you hear these things everywhere. So with that being said, you know, when you're not afraid to embrace the more weird aspects of life in general, I guess, it often tends to reward you a lot more. So for anyone who's looking to do that, I mean, I definitely think that is the way to go with it.
Yeah, it's just really that authenticity. You know, it's okay to gather, you know, inspiration for different things. It's not stealing because it's going to inspire you and your art that you produce is based off your own experiences with it. But I think that authenticity, really finding out, you know, who you are as an artist, what creating looks like for you, whether that be a process, a media, you know, a specific style you develop. It's really having that authenticity and really doing the work, sifting through, you know, different things that inspire you, different things you like, so really find your true style. Because I think that's something, that's the difference, that really is the longevity, no matter what medium you're using, whether it be from film to music, is when you have that authenticity, that's something that's relatable to the audience. And that's something that's what transpires generations. That's what changes the culture, right? Which is just the intersection of media and music and opinions and all of that together. And so I think if you're an aspiring artist, you're aspiring creative, no matter what the media is, you know, just find, take the time, whether it be looking at YouTube, reading different books, articles, interviews, scrolling through different profiles and fashion. It's like, just really take the time to put in the work because you have it at your fingertips now. So I think, you know, take advantage of that and just invest in yourself, right? Whether it be anything from equipment to just taking the time you need and the space you need to create and do what you love to do or what you like to do. And so, you know, just find that authentic style, find what inspires you and go with it, run with it. You know, it's a journey, not a sprint. So you're going to have up and down. You're going to have trials and tribulations, right? Like I can look back and when the period of time when I was painting and that wasn't my best work, but it allowed me to get into a place where now I can find things like silhouettes and pull from here and there to really, you know, different inspirations and go through the process of being bad at this specific style, but finding what I'm good at and really just appreciating the journey. You know, everyone's not, I mean, I hate the thing when people really think it's like, oh, like this is a microwave artist or oh, this took, they just did this or they're a planner. This, it's like, no. If it's true art, if it's authentic, that takes time, whether it just be inspiration part or time practicing, you know, trying and your trials and tribulations, you're going to go through those. It's not going to be easy process because you're growing. When you're growing and having growth, it's never easy. It's never comes off of getting everything right. You know, it's a process. So I think if you're a young artist out there tuning in, just stay grounded. Remember, it's a journey, not a sprint, and just invest in yourself. Learn more about what art you like. Learn more about your inspirations. What inspired them? You know, think about, okay, well, why that inspired them? And tie it into yourself. It's your story. It's your outlet. And that's what I think. That's the greatest part of being creative, aspiring to be a creative, what have you. It's yours. You get to own it, right? It's whatever you want it to be. You can do that and put that out there for the world. So I think those are just some things to keep in mind. In addition to the points that you mentioned, just, you know, when you're trying to get started, when you're just trying to create or express yourself, just go for it, honestly. Just really go for it.
And definitely, I feel like you brought up a really good point about owning certain things that are you, you know, owning mm-hmm. those aspects about it, you know. And I know, obviously, for me, I'm a big music guy. I love it. But, you know, one of my favorite rappers, R.I.P., you know, DMX, that was one of the things that he really did, was that he owned that pain, really, you know. There were just certain things that, you know, he did, and that's what made his music so raw. You know, people loved it, and people were so enthralled with it that mm-hmm. that's what made X a legend, was that he owned that pain that was his life. Because, you know, obviously, for the sake of time, I'm not going to give a breakdown on DMX's life, but
we can get into that later.
For a lot of people who know, you know, X did not have it easy coming up. There were a lot mm-hmm. of problems, and you can almost hear that in his voice. It's like, it's sickening. It's like you can hear it, you know,
feel it
from that standpoint. And, you know, that's just one of the many things that you have to do as an artist. You have to own those things that are you, you know, whether it be pain or happiness or, you know, joy or whatever it might be. I think really just owning that and sort of just, you know, without lack of better representation, just laying it all out
mm-hmm. is
really like that secret ingredient, you know?
Yeah, man. It's just really just authenticity and just going through it. You know, everyone's going to have their trials and tribulations. But that's not what makes you how you let it affect you, how you grow from it, learn from it, keep it pushing. And so that's just a part of life. You're going to have your ups and downs. But, you know, stay focused, keep creating. Like I always tell people, whether big or small, you know, you might have breaks here. You might need a break. You might just have life thrown at you. But, you know, always, I think, you know, if you're consistent in the sense of, you know, always moving towards something, whether big or taking small steps with perseverance and hard work, I really feel like you can almost do anything. So for those young creatives out there, remember, it's a journey. Take your time, do the due process. And in the end, if it's for you, you'll come out on top.
Definitely. I think just, you know, sticking with it as well, you know, just sticking with it. You know, I think that's a huge process. Probably mm-hmm. what 99% of all pieces of art never get finished. You know, it's just,
you don't
stick with it, you know. I think basically if you're an artist, you get up every day, you paint. If you're a musician, you get up every day, you record. If you're a filmmaker, you get up every day and you just shoot something, just something.
Yep.
You can make it work, because at the end of the day, you can edit bad film. You can redo a bad painting. You can mix or, you know, re-engineer a bad song. You can't re-engineer if you get nothing at all. You know, you can't edit from zero. You can start from zero, but you can't edit from zero. You can't improve on that standpoint. So I think that's just a huge thing too, is just, I mean, literally getting up is 50% of the battle, you know?
Definitely, definitely. So those are definitely some important things to take heed to if you're listening, tuning in, you know, get a notebook out, whatever you need, take some notes. And so I think that kind of wraps it up for our first episode. This time is about State of the Times. And this is the first episode actually of a series. So be looking out for more episodes in terms of times and culture. I think, you know, we're going to take a deep dive throughout the history of art, because I think there's been a lot of great times and a lot of really crucial pieces of history in art for us to get to this place where we are today. You had to have, you know, the people to go out on the line for the culture and get villainized for it to be able for that door to open for other people to come behind it.
Also, sometimes it's just, you know, good to just reflect on it too, because, I mean, that could just provide exposure in that sense, you know, just looking back on it.
Most definitely. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. I'm your host, Chad.
I'm your host, Chris.
And this is the Ingenious Podcast. Feel free to contact us through social media at ingenious.pod on Instagram and ingeniouspod on Twitter. Peace.
Stay tuned.